entertainment news for you.
And it's brought to you by
Highland Homes and All-Pro Foundation Repair.
Here we go! Dave.
Thank you. Well, as of yesterday, there were two out of the original nine announced artists for the Freedom 250 concerts in Washington, D.C. that were still going to be there. Vanilla Ice and Milli Vanilli.
Milli Vanilli, who weren't a real band, and the guy jumped off a building.
One of the guys.
Right, half the fake, but they're not even...
Okay, yes, you're right.
So stupid.
So Rob is dead, but Fab is still alive. Fab Morvan. And so he went on CNN last night and said, this is not what I signed up for. When I
signed up to be in a real band.
When I saw a young MC pull out, I was like, well, that's weird. What does he know that I don't know? I was there to unite people, have them walk down memory lane, celebrate life. It was a way to say, hey, I'm still here. You're still here. Let's have a good time together. But throughout the week, it turned into a circus. I'm not into politics. So you hear it first here. I am not attending the celebration. And as you mentioned, there was controversy from the get-go about Milli Vanilli, because after they made the initial announcement that Milli Vanilli is one of the artists that's going to appear, and people were like, well, yeah, but is it the guys who are lip-syncing or the people that actually sang?
It's the weirdest thing ever.
And so a woman who sang on the original albums, Jody Rocco, issued a statement after the original announcement saying that she and the other singers who had the actual real vocals on the albums would not be taking part. And
that's beneath us.
And she doesn't speak to Fab. And Fab, I guess, bought the rights to the name and has continued to tour as Milli Vanilli.
Wow.
And I guess there is a Milli Vanilli summer tour, because he has said, looking forward to reconnecting with you across the USA this summer to finally sing Milli Vanilli songs live in person.
So literally now we are 38 years down the road, and he's never sang one of these songs live?
Yeah. Hopefully he remembers the words.
Think about how long that is.
Did you say Rob jumped off a building?
Is that what happened? I know Rob's dead.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure he had like a accidental overdose.
Dude, he committed suicide. 100%. It's in the documentary. Now, I may have got the building thing wrong, but he killed himself.
I believe the death was ruled accidental,
okay.
Corby.
Not
accidental overdose.
Not a chance.
Alcohol and prescription pills.
While he
was in rehab in Germany.
So
no jumping off a building.
In your investigation, you found proof of suicide.
Shamed into suicide.
Now, did you share these findings with the cops, Sherlock?
I don't know what the defense of Milli Vanilli suicide suddenly is 40 years down the road.
I was curious about the jumping off the building thing.
I loved it so much.
And then I find out
maybe
my radio hero lied to me.
Maybe according to Corby, he overdosed and then fell off the top of a building.
There you go. And I say he jumped.
When he was falling unconscious.
The rehab center was at the 100th floor of a skyscraper.
There you go.
And you know, he's making that up. And
just like Corby makes everything up.
Man, I can't believe you, Corby, about Milli Vanilli's suicide message.
Milli Vanilli, what are we arguing about? Who effing cares?
This show sucks.
Idiots. I work with idiots.
We didn't make stuff up.
I didn't make it up either. I thought he did.
Well, you thought he did. And you made it up in your brain.
The documentary defense.
It's not a documentary that I don't even remember watching.
All right, you idiots. He tried to kill himself by jumping off a bridge.
Tried. Bridge, not building.
Different incident.
God, you guys are pathetic.
Tried.
Move on.
He failed, just like he failed to sing.
God.
Taylor Swift.
Wait.
Has made...
No way he would do that. He's too cool.
Nobody said that.
Yeah, he did. Not my Milli Vanilli.
He's too cool.
All right, truce. Truce.
Where's Right Said Fred in all this?
A member of the disgraced pop music duo Milli Vanilli slashed his wrist So how about that, Sherlock? Is that enough to tell you that he probably committed suicide?
The police found it as it was a cry for help, Corby.
A member of the disgraced pop music duo Milli Vanilli slashed his wrist, gulped prescription pills, dangled from a ninth-floor hotel balcony before a time switchboard operator and sheriff's deputy teamed up to help save his life. Oh, Corby, where'd you get that information? What? Where would you ever get that? What an idiot. Go on, Dave. Go on with your little story.
How does one dangle off a building?
God!
Those were all cries for help.
Our Fab would never do that.
Rob.
Yeah, Fab's still with us. Yeah. He's about to go on tour.
Fab is about to reunite with his public. Taylor Swift, actual singer.
No, what?
What broke up the Hardline? The Milli Vanilli suicide from 1988.
I think
it's the hardest they've ever fought.
I think he slashed his wrist because it was bothering him. If I cut this wide open, maybe I can alleviate some of this pain. Oh, God.
But did he slash across or up?
Yeah, that's true.
Because if you want to do it for real, you know what to do.
Just grieve. Just calm down,
go
Corby.
Ahead. I just wanted to win the argument. I did. Now move on. Go.
Get ready for an all-new Hardline segment. It's time to step into the snake pit. And now, with something completely over the top, the host and star of the Snake Pit, Snake.
Thank you. It's brought to you by
American Leak Detection.
Okay, so yesterday I was so thrown off by a story that Dave had concerning the concert that was supposed to take place in Washington, D.C., the 250-year...
It was a series of concerts.
Okay. Yeah. And everybody's dropped out and blah, blah, blah. And that's not the story. But you mentioned a band that was on the bill initially. And the band that was on the bill was Milli Vanilli. And I'm like, wait. Not only did they lose half of the act, they were not real. So how are they on the bill? And that's what spurred on the whole argument that we had about how Rob Pilatus ended up dying.
They weren't real.
No, they were real people, but they weren't a real band. So it's been so long, and a guy, and I was talking about how do you know the guy tried to commit suicide? And I'm like, well, it was on the documentary, the VH1 Behind the Music documentary that came out in like 98 or something like that. Like it was, 5 or 6 years after all this went down. And they talked about how he slit his wrist and was hanging from a balcony before the cops came in. And so,
how do you hang from a balcony if your wrists are slit?
You're strong like Rob.
Or were they separate incidents?
I don't know, man. I don't know. But anyway,
I don't think you're a very good detective.
I guess not. But anyway, I'm trying to figure out, what is going on? How are they playing? How is this other guy playing? Fab Morvan is the other guy's name.
Yeah, he evidently bought the rights to the name Milli Vanilli, and so even though he never sang on their recordings, he just lip-synced and danced with Rob, he now owns the name and is touring as Milli Vanilli.
So for you guys out there in the audience, are you very familiar with the Milli Vanilli story?
I'm a little thrown on how he actually died, but yes.
He may or may not have jumped or killed himself by slitting his wrist.
Okay. All
right. Or pills.
But you are aware this was like a funny thing when you were growing up, about this band being a joke.
They've always been a punchline for sure.
Okay. All right. So I had a good friend of mine go, dude, he goes, are you aware of the documentary that came out 2 years ago? I go, no, I have no idea about this. And
like 2 years ago, right now?
Yes.
Okay.
And he goes, you need to watch this because you're going to be blown away because they talk to everyone. They talk to the singers that sang for the guys. They, the Fab obviously is a big part of it, but they talk to everyone that was involved in this ruse, including executives at the record label, which I've never heard any of them talk about before. So what do I do last night after the hockey game? I stay up for an hour and 45 minutes and watch the Milli Vanilli documentary. And I was enthralled by it.
What's it on?
I watched it on Prime. And it was free on Prime.
Okay. All right.
So it's great, dude. Okay, so the very quick story about how all this came about. Rob is from Germany. Fab is from Paris. They end up meeting each other in Germany, and they were at a party, and they noticed they were the only two black people there, and they became fast friends. They end up living together in Rob's apartment. He lived in an attic apartment way up high in a beater area of Germany. I can't remember which town they were in Germany. So they're living together, and they're like, man, they love to dance. They're both dancers. They have all these ideas about how they want their fame to potentially explode. They start hosting these parties at nightclubs in these German towns. And they eventually get noticed. And because they're not only hosting these parties and DJing and all that, they get up there in front of everybody and they dance. And they've got this little dance that they're doing together and all this. And you're like, wow, this is... Okay, I get it. This looks really cool. So a very, very famous producer finds them and literally says, all right, I need you guys to come down to my office. I've got a great idea for you. Don't know if you're going to be into it, but I think I want to sign you to a deal. And so they wait around for a couple of months, and they are dirt poor. These kids, they're 21 and 23 at the time. They have no money. And they really don't have that much, you know, outlook on the future. And so they wait around for a couple of months. And 2 months into it, they get a call from the German record producer. And he calls them in and he throws a contract at them. And the guy's name is Frank Farian. He's a famous producer. He had created a band in the 80s. I'm sorry, in the 70s, that had sold 80 million records, like a European duo. So they were like, oh my God, we know this guy. Let's sign the deal. And this is kind of the how the deal went down and what they learned.
I remember thinking, this is weird, you know, we don't want to lip sync. That's when Ingrid gave us the options. What she conveyed to us clearly is that we signed the contract, we got money. If we didn't want to take part, we have to pay them back. But Ingrid said, it's not just the advance that we paid you, but also all the money that we gave you through the months. We developed a debt towards Frank Farian. We were scared as hell. We had nowhere to go. So we thought, okay, it's one song. You do that and you're out.
So he had this idea. I have songs written and I would like for you to sing these songs. And, you know, these kids are just like, we don't want to do that. Well, you signed a contract. You signed this deal. And they've been waiting around for the phone call and they don't read the fine print because they're given 12 grand each. And so...
They didn't know what the money was for? They weren't told what this deal means?
No. Because they were told that we want to record you, you know, essentially, or we want you to sign a record deal. It's as nebulous as that. Then they go in there and it's like, here's our idea. And so Frank Farian hired all these singers to come in to sing these songs, to record these songs. And then they are the front men of the actual band. They're the faces of it because these guys, if you haven't seen them, are really good-looking dudes.
Yeah. They were heartthrobs.
Yeah.
They must work out.
They're ripped.
Beautiful hair.
Yes, and that was part of it. They both decided, like, okay, if we're going to do this, if we're going to launch into this, we got to do something with our hair. Well, they already had longer hair, and they braided it like to where it looked perfect.
It did.
It really did. Like,
I'm not going to lie.
No. We were all jealous of Milli Vanilli's hair.
Age 15 me was smitten.
Someday that'll be me.
You just wait. Yeah, you just wait.
Oh, man, I'm growing my hair out like Milli Vanilli someday.
Okay, so here are the... So then they're like, all right, we'll do this. We'll be the face of this. But again, this is some guy that wrote these songs and they're going to make 12 grand off this and maybe a little bit more. Nobody thought anything would actually work. It's in Germany, for God's sakes. You know, so they hired real American singers to sing these songs. Well, they tracked them down. So here are the singers.
We're holding Brett Howell, a fantastic American singer.
Frank needed an American singer like me. He said, I'm going to make a project, and you be the lead singer. I said, okay, let's do it.
Charles Shaw, a sehr guter rapper.
I'm from Houston, Texas. Frank says, I have a new project. Can you rap it? He wrote me a check for $12,000. Just keep your mouth shut.
Frank said, Linda, we're going to need backing vocalists. So I brought in my twin sister, Jody.
And I looked at her. I said, if this is Uzanaz and I love you, I'm going to shoot you.
And I said, shut up. And he says, I want you to sing this.
Ooh, 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 I love you. I said, you. Don't say it.
So they got a rapper from Houston. And they got this other guy, this soul singer from California. And they were in there like, the first guy you heard was in his 50s, like an old kind of almost soul singer. And Frank Farian, the producer, does all this under the secrecy of they have to keep their mouth shut, too. So it's such a crazy ruse that worked, and not only worked, it worked to perfection because the rise happened immediately with the release of Girl, You Know It's True.
Like, every week he was going up. Boom, 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 boom.
And the song just takes off. It becomes a huge hit in Germany. Nobody knew it was going to be a hit, not even Frank. But once he seen it was rising, then he started putting more promotion into it.
Suddenly we were in Bravo, a youth magazine in Germany, selling millions every week. People that were not taking us seriously were suddenly like, hey. And now it's going through Europe. So we traveled up and down Europe on television. We were nervous.
Can you pause it here? So they memorize the song, obviously, and they're lip syncing the song. But when you go and play these like little TV shows and things up and down, you know, whatever towns and villages you're in, I think they almost expect that you're doing that.
Yeah, all of those shows were lip synced in the day.
Yeah, and so that's what they were doing.
We were nervous. Can you drop your mic a little bit? I was like, no, I'm gonna give it that. But nervousness translated into excitement. A minute ago, we didn't want to do this. But now, we want more. We're so pumped. You in Italy, you in Spain, you in Holland.
And then all of a sudden, it hits the States. Bam.
They came in, braids swinging,
chest bumping,
downtown Julie Brown,
with tights on.
It was two black dudes with dreads coming into pop. That alone was the shock factor.
The hair and the bandanas and the shoulder pads.
It was a totally different style.
That's all we knew.
They had it all. Like, their visuals were on point.
I mean, they were just eye candy. It was yummy, yummy, yummy.
You know, it's true. It becomes a number two hit in the United States.
Girl knows true. Number two. Oh, my God.
It became a top five hit in 23 countries around the world. That's Michael Jackson-level success.
So,
it was too successful.
It was too much. And
the weight of that must have been incredible.
I know. I know. And here are these poor guys that have $0 that suddenly have everything. In the span of like 6 months, their lives are turned upside down based on a lie that they thought would last for a couple of months and then they would get out of it or whatever. So what do you do? Like, what are your options if you're one of these guys?
Knowing you can't sing.
No, and they begged. They were like, can we please sing? And Frank Farian, the producer's like, no. 100% no. I have singers. You're not singers. So, basically what happens is it explodes in America. Clive Davis, who runs Arista Records, the biggest music mogul maybe ever, wants them. And signs them to a U.S. deal, a U.S. record deal. Well, he says, we need to make a whole album. So he hires the best songwriters. He hires a woman who eventually did Blame It on the Rain to come in and write that song for him. And then...
Is he in on the bit, obviously?
No.
He doesn't know?
No idea.
Wow.
Only Frank Farian, the German producer, the singers, the fake singers, and then Milli Vanilli themselves know. That's it. And so the people at Arista, they start to get suspicious, though, because they want to be in studio when all this the recording's going on. They're sending the songs to Germany, and then they won't let anybody in the studio. And even the musicians that are playing on it, they're like, well, where are Rob and Fab? And they're like, no, they record. They demand to record on their own. And wow. So
this is their process.
Yeah, no one knows anything about what's going on. Okay, I know we have arena talk, but we don't have time. Let's come back because there's a huge payoff here. And the huge payoff is my original question. How are they a band if these guys can't sing? Well, next.
The Ticket.
It's kind of a banger of a song. We all loved it. We all had a guilty Milli Vanilli pleasure. So we're in the middle of
such
talking
a,
about...
Such a 90s beat.
Boy, 90s might be too modern.
Yeah, I think this is 89 when it came out.
Was it really?
March of 89. Okay. Yeah, that's what they were saying. So we're in the middle of talking about it because Dave mentioned that during the Trump 250-year celebration that Milli Vanilli was supposed to be on the bill. And we're like, wait, what? How? And then I was told to go watch this documentary that came out a couple of years ago. And the story is fascinating. It is the craziest story, I think, of deception in the history of music. Where one man, Frank Farian, found these two guys dancing in a club, basically, in Germany. Hired them to be the face, the front men of his band. Hired musicians and singers to basically pose as the band, but they were the faces of the band. And then it exploded. It went absolutely off the charts in every country. 23 countries. It was a top three hit. Money was being made everywhere. Everywhere. Everybody was getting a piece of Milli Vanilli, who initially was on board with it. Arista Records and Clive Davis came in, swooped in, and signed him. And they were just... Everybody was rolling at this point. They get signed to do the MTV tour. So in my head, where did this all blow up in y'all's heads? How did all this end?
I don't remember.
You don't? Do you?
Yeah, they were doing like an award show or something, or a concert, and
yes.
Their equipment
the
went
broke.
Faulty.
No, yeah, the tape went, it started
and
skipping.
They panicked and ran off the stage.
Exactly.
Or something.
So they're on the MTV tour. They're doing 108 cities, this MTV tour. And all they do is get up there and play that song, or a couple of songs, and then it's over. And they're obviously lip syncing, and they've got a track that they're playing, and the track in Connecticut skipped. And so it was, girl, you know, it's girl, you know, yeah. It's girl, you know. And they're out there like, oh, my God. And they run off stage. And the band's out there playing.
Right.
And they won't leave.
What year?
89, 90.
Oh, they got exposed like year one?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, this all happened so, so fast. And so they got booed. Obviously, people are going nuts. There are articles written in papers. You know, people are talking about it, but then it was like, okay, well, let's just go to the next city. And it sold out, and people, it was before, like, the viral age, obviously, and you would think that that would be enough to wipe you out clean. They kept going. So then after that, the original singers who Frank Farian hired to sing the songs, one guy couldn't handle it anymore. And so he's like, I'm telling. And so he goes and does an interview and is like, yeah, my name is so-and-so. I was hired by Frank Farian to sing these songs. That's me singing. You can hear me. They're playing the song. That's me. No one cared. Nothing happened. They keep going. It's amazing. They win the American Music Awards for Best New Artist. And the money, okay, so first off, the album sales.
Blame It on the Rain is number one hit in 1989.
They released Baby Don't Forget My Number, number one. Girl, I'm Gonna Miss You is the third number one song. They have three number one smashes off that record.
That feels impossible.
And once you have three big hit singles, you're going to sell a lot of albums.
If an artist sells 500,000 and went gold, that's terrific. If an artist sells a million albums, that's something.
But 8 million?
It's one of the biggest debuts of all time. Blame it on the rain that
was falling, falling. 8 million. 8 million copies. And it was barely out. Like, everyone bought this album. So then, yeah, you bought it. No shame in that.
Did you buy it on CD or cassette?
Cassette, for sure.
No shame in that.
I think. Now I'm starting to wonder.
So what is 8 million copies sold, plus a global tour and everything else? What does this mean for Arista Records? What does this mean for the guy, Frank Farian, the original producer? This is what it means.
Successful music is a great money machine.
Their videos are hot. Their songs are hot.
Singles, albums, maxi singles.
Buy it now.
The album made $580 million. They had sold approximately 46 million records. Global. There was merchandise, keychains, ticket sales to the concerts.
It's Milli Vanilli. Milli Vanilli. What a show. What a night.
We're going to a Milli Vanilli concert.
They could have recorded the alphabet, the phone book. You name it, they were selling it. At that time, Frank Farian was worth almost $500 million.
That's the producer.
In 1990
dollars. In 1990, he had $500 million. Based on the fraud that was Milli Vanilli. So they finished the tour, and then it's time to record the second album, which had all been written, and, you know, the obviously, when you have something this successful, Arista Records, they're putting everything behind record number two.
Yeah.
So Milli Vanilli, Robin Fab, they call their producer and they go, we're not doing it. Well, again, everyone is making so much money off these guys. They're like, unless you let us sing, we will not do it. And there is a back and forth between all these people. Obviously, Frank's like, dude, do you know how much money you're getting ready to make? Just do it. And they're like, we can't do it. We want to sing. So then there was supposed to be some appearance that they had, and they told their producer, we need $150,000 or we're out altogether. Just, we need it right now. And he was like, I'm not going to be blackmailed by these guys. And so the original producer finally calls the Associated Press, holds a huge press conference, and unleashes everything. Tells the world everything.
No way.
So in my head, I thought that they just got exposed because they got run off stage in Connecticut because the tape skipped. This went on for way longer. So then they're over. They're the frauds. It's completely over.
Fraud.
And their lives are upended. Dude, all this is like 18 months. Everything happens so flipping fast for these kids. Lives are over. One of them, obviously,
if you will,
yeah, did not handle it as well as the other.
What year did he?
Took about 5 years.
Pass away from an accidental overdose or overdose on purpose.
It took about 5 years. He was in and out of rehab. He was found in multiple crack houses. He, you know, tried to take his own life multiple times. It was a really sad story. But the other guy, Fab, continued on and kept trying to continue his life, and ended up meeting a woman in, I think, Amsterdam. They had three or four kids together. She's part of this documentary. And I don't know what the ending is as I'm watching it. Again, this was made 2 years ago. And at the end, he's walking out of his house and he goes, you know, you just got to keep going on. And every time that I perform now, I do it for Rob. And then, boom, they show him up on stage. And he's got the same hair. He cut it a couple of times, but he's grown it back out. Looks awesome. Dude, this guy's got to be 60 years old now. He looks incredible. He looks exactly the same. So he goes out to this, looks like a festival. There have to be 3,000-4,000 people screaming the words to this song. Now, remember, they couldn't sing at all. They would not let them sing anything. Now, you tell me, if they just would have let this guy sing, this thing would still be going on. This is him live.
That didn't shine that night. Whatever you do, don't put the blame on you. Blame it on the rain. Yeah, yeah.
I was, dude, I got goosebumps watching him, thinking they went so wrong. What does this guy think?
It was right, and that was the way out.
It was all about the look anyway. And you're telling me that guy didn't sing as good as that original guy?
Yeah. Huh.
Like, what were they doing?
That's crazy.
What was that producer? Seriously, that crap could have lasted for 15 years.
Did they ever even let them get behind the mic in the studio and just see what it sounds like?
Yeah. Yes. And they were like, you can't do it. You can't do it.
I mean, maybe he's worked on it for the last 30 years.
He probably has, but still, again, the only thing that anybody cared about were those two guys and the way they looked and danced. And if you have a guy that could sing three quarters that good,
yeah,
you just keep it going.
So he is playing America's 250.
Well,
he backed out. Oh. He backed out.
He can. I mean, that
but he
guy
is
can,
touring.
That guy can go. Like,
well, shout out to Rob.
Fab. Rob is passed.
Yeah. Well, shout out to Rob, too.
Pour one out for Rob.
That's Fab.
And shout out to Fab.
So anyway, dude, it's an awesome documentary. Again, on the biggest scandal that we've ever had in music that was right in our wheelhouse. Like, we were like, wait, what? A fake? And like, they showed all the demolition of the Milli Vanilli records. People were going over it with steamrollers and stuff. And, you know, the old tried and true trope of the angry music fan and all that. But you talk about a long road back for this guy. I mean, it took 25 years for him to really get over it, to come to peace with it, losing his best friend, all of it. And it seems like he's come out on the other side. And I'm, like, really happy for the guy. Like, it's a really cool story.
That is a cool story, and one I didn't anticipate in today's snake pit.
No, and they're pawns in the game. The record,
it's all in the game.
Dude, the record company, Arista, Clive Davis, and in the end, they were like, Clive knew. Clive definitely knew. Like, people that worked at Arista, they're like, that son of a bitch definitely knew, but he didn't want to tarnish his reputation because he didn't find out until later, but he kept the bit going. But Frank Farian, the guy that organized the whole thing, nothing. And then Frank Farian had the gall to put out the real Milli Vanilli and had other people come in that look like Milli Vanilli trying to do the same thing. Like, these are the real singers. But they weren't. And he got away scot-free. But these two guys, one lost his life and one went through hell and back. So it's on Prime Video. It's free. Or it's on Paramount Plus for free as well. It's just called Milli Vanilli.
All right.